Hey guys, welcome to Sunday Nights at Refuge, a community-focused Bible study that gathers weekly in our Common Ground Cafe. So grab a cup of coffee or tea and your Bible. By the way, you can connect with us on Instagram at Refuge Family. Now, our prayer is that Jesus would use this message to draw you closer to Him. So if you're ready, let's join tonight's study.
Hey, would you join me in prayer, and then we'll jump into the study tonight. God, we believe that you are present in this place. We believe that you are here with us, Lord, and that there was a reason why we came here tonight. Lord, there's a reason why we have entered into this place, and so we trust that even as we have come here, that you're going to speak to us, you're going to direct our hearts, you're going to position some of us into a new position tonight from when we came in. Lord, our hearts are going to go a different direction. Lord, we believe that. We believe that we've come to sit underneath and listen to your word be taught. And so I believe when that happens, there's great opportunity for a heart that is open and soft to the things of you. And so tonight we're going to trust you that you will work in this place, and we believe that you will. So, Lord, thank you for that opportunity. Lord, surround us, engulf us by your presence tonight. Amen. Amen. I wanted to talk tonight about an opportunity that I think God gives everyone to exit the normal days of life and become extraordinary. That God, I believe, moves us oftentimes from a place where we're at into a new place, and I would call that place an extraordinary place. Every once in a while, I do something outside the box. I get creative, and I create things. I'm not very good at it, but I do it every once in a while. Here's an example that I brought from home. I got this for my wife for Christmas. What this is a clearance item that I found at TJ Maxx, I think it was. It was some broken down clearance item. I think it was $1.99 for the sign. And then I got super creative. I went home, I found scrap pieces of wood, and I made a little frame around it. And you can, yes, thank you. You can see the master craftsmanship and how the wood lines up. No, it doesn't. It doesn't line up at all. But it was something I was like, I found something that was broken, and I created something that was way more awesome by putting wood around it. And she totally appreciated it because she puts it by her bed at night, and she just remembers that I think she's beautiful. And so that's what that is. Now, I imagine in a room like this, there are people who've done something way more creative than that, that took something that was just like an ordinary thing and turned it into something extraordinary or extraordinary. Anybody have any gifts or talents like that that'd be willing to... don't point to me. Right? I know Melody does. She can paint really well. She's a very good artist, for sure. It's incredible when somebody takes something that's just ordinary and turns it into something extraordinary that all of us would be like, wow. I think, you know, music is that. Like when you just take a guitar and you can play something and then you put words to it and then there's a melody that goes along with it and people are like, that's incredible. I want to hear that more than once. That's a pretty big deal. And so I think probably in this room, if we were all just being honest, there are probably people here who have created incredible things. And I think that is something that our creator God, that's him, right? That's him in living out through the image of his creation, that God took something that was nothing and turned it into something that we maybe would say was ordinary, but made something so extraordinary out of it. And I will just say, in our passage tonight, Jesus does that same exact thing with a bunch of guys. He takes something that was just ordinary and he turns them into something absolutely extraordinary. Now, I would say too, there's probably humility in this room. So some of us would just say, I'm just an ordinary guy. Like I put my pants on one leg at a time, all right? I'm just an ordinary girl. There's nothing extraordinary about me. Some people would say, no, there's lots of extraordinary things about me. But if we're all honest, we're just ordinary people. And the reality is sometimes we think, God, how could you possibly use me? And I want to talk about that tonight. How can God possibly use us? But before we do that, let me set up our passage. We're going to be in Mark chapter 1. So if you would turn to Mark chapter 1. And as you're turning to Mark chapter 1, let me tell you where you've been over the last couple of weeks as you've just been studying Mark. John is big, right? John the Baptist, he's a big part of God's plan in introducing who Jesus is. And in fact, like, he's preaching this thing called the kingdom of God. And he's saying the kingdom of God is here, so you need to change your life, you need to repent, and you need to turn away. And then something happens. Jesus comes onto the scene, but before he really comes on and starts his public ministry, he gets baptized. And what else happens to him? Somebody help me. You probably talked about it last week. What happened? Where did he go? The wilderness, right? And what happens in the wilderness? Temptation. By who? Satan, right? Satan tempts Jesus in the wilderness. He throws some things at him to see if he could try to change Jesus off his God path, right? And Jesus, right, uses scripture, pushes him away three times. And now Jesus kind of comes onto the scene tested and tried, and he's ready to start his public ministry. Something happens with John as well in our first verse of our text here. Look at what it says in John chapter 1, verse 14. John, who is this big deal, who's really has come onto the scene to point his way to Jesus, now kind of gets taken out of the picture. Look what it says in Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Now, after John was put in prison, right? John gets put in prison. Oh no, like John's got his followers, and John's pointing the way to Jesus, and now John, because of something that he said, gets put in prison, right? Standing up for truth in a marriage that shouldn't have happened in Mark chapter 6. But listen to what it goes on to say. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Now John was put in prison. Now he's gone out of off the scene for a little bit. Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Something so foundational to what we're going to talk about tonight is this idea that God is doing something extraordinary on the face of the earth. That Jesus' ministry is about ready to start, and through Jesus, God is going to do the extraordinary. The kingdom of God, he says, is at hand. That God is doing something so unique and so special in this moment. Jesus is proclaiming it, saying there is something different about this time, that God is going to advance his kingdom on the face of the earth in a new, special, and different way. In fact, in Zechariah 14:9, I'll read it to you. The prophet foretold of a day that, this is what it says, "And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day it shall be, the Lord is one and his name is one." Zechariah foretold in 14:9 of a time when God, the creator of all things, would rule over all the earth. Take that in for a minute. That there will be a moment, there will be a time when God, who created all things, will restore all things and he will rule over all the earth. Now, that's not happening right here in the moment that Jesus is talking about. But Jesus is saying, start the time clock, right? Get it going. Because the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God that Zechariah was talking about. The time when God will be the ruler over all the earth. And peace will be restored. And salvation and redemption will be restored. And Jesus is saying, hey, everyone, get on board. The time is happening. It's starting. The clock has started. And so Jesus makes a big deal about this idea that the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, the kingdom is a major theme throughout the New Testament. But one of those themes is in Matthew chapter 13, verse 31. Jesus tells a parable about the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. You remember that? So someone might say, well, where is the kingdom? Like, I don't see it. And Jesus is saying, listen, when the kingdom of God comes, which it has, it's like this small little seed. And this small little seed is advancing. And sometimes you don't even see it growing. You don't even see it moving. But God is in control, and he's causing his kingdom and the truth of his kingdom and the power of his kingdom to advance on this earth. And in fact, people tonight even, right? God's kingdom is moving and advancing on the face of the earth, and it's growing. Jesus' parable idea of the parable of the mustard seed, it's small, seems to be so tiny and insignificant, and yet it grows and grows and grows. And Jesus is saying, start the time clock. The kingdom of God is advancing on the face of the earth. It's already begun. And then people were even in that day missed it, right? The Pharisees, they didn't see it, right? People today, they don't see it. But we're part of this. If you're a believer here tonight, you're part of that kingdom, that your heart was changed, and now you're part of the kingdom advancement on the face of the earth. And Jesus is saying, listen, I'm proclaiming this moment. I'm telling you the kingdom of God is at hand. And one day, God's kingdom will advance so much that no one will be able to deny it. That his presence will be here. He will rule over the face of the earth, and everyone will see him, right? It'll be so clear and so apparent that God is ruling on the face of the earth. So Jesus says, this is the response. If you believe that's true, if you believe that who I am, Jesus would say, and you believe that the kingdom of God is at hand, there's two things I want you to do. What does he say in our text? Repent and what? And what? And believe. There's two things that the heart that says, I believe you're the Son of God, I believe the kingdom of God is at hand. There's two things that he says that you got to do. You've got to change, right? You've got to repent. You've got to about face. And you got to live like you believe that the Son of God, he is the Son of God. And then you've got to believe, right? So he says, listen, and John's message was the same, John the Baptist, right? The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. That he's calling people out of normal everyday life, and he says, something extraordinary is happening, that God is doing something, and if you want to be a part of that, the response is, I can't keep doing the same thing I used to do. I can't be the same person I once was and still believe and honor the kingdom of God. That I want to be a kingdom of God person. So there's going to be a change inside of me, and I'm going to start living for that moment when God will rule on the face of the earth. Plain and simple. I can't stay where I am and go with the kingdom. And so Jesus is saying, listen, repent and believe. The idea of believe there is pistuo, which is, it's not just I believe in a theory, but it's belief with action. It's the idea that you can say, oh, I believe in the gospel. I believe it's good news. I believe in Jesus, but nothing changed in my life. That's not really what he's saying about belief. Belief is like, I believe, and along comes a change of action, a change of who I am, a change of all that I am, because I believe that Jesus Christ died on a cross for me. I believe in the advancing kingdom of God, and I'm getting on board with that by the way that I demonstrate what I believe. So the idea there speaks of a relationship and trust and dependence. I would just say this, what you do determines what you believe, right? How you act is a determination of what's inside of your heart, right? Out of the mouth, right? That the heart speaks. It's a demonstration of your heart. Same thing is true of what we do reflects what we believe about our God. And what we believe in particular in our case here about the kingdom of God and its coming and its very presence now. So how I act, how I respond to that matters about what I believe. So as Jesus goes out to start this ministry, remember, John is in prison. Jesus comes out of the desert. He's preaching. He's preaching about, hey, listen, the kingdom of God is at hand. The time has come. Repent and believe. And you would think Jesus, being God, could really just run the show himself, right? That he could just go do a bunch of miracles. He could just preach really powerful messages. But that's not the first thing he does. Listen to what he does here. Look at verse 16. He says this, and this is Jesus, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Verse 19, when he had gone a little farther from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the boat mending their nets. Verse 20, and immediately they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. Jesus, the first thing he does as he's coming out of the desert, right? Not go do a bunch of miracles, not preach these awesome messages yet. He goes and he finds these, what? Everyday guys, right? He just goes, he's walking along the sea and he's going to pull these guys out of these boats who are fishermen. Notice, Jesus goes out and seeks after them, right? That I'm going to find these guys. And I'm going to give you four tonight, just four quick kind of lessons I think we learn about Jesus and becoming his disciple and about what it makes, what it takes to become extraordinary. The first one is this. Jesus calls us out of the ordinary and into the extraordinary. Jesus calls us, if you're a note taker, you could write this down. Jesus calls us out of the ordinary and into the extraordinary. See, God is doing something very extraordinary. He's advancing his kingdom. Why does God even care, right? God, the creator of all things, humans mess up, humans sin, humans fall away. Why doesn't God just push that creation away? No. He says, I'm coming, and I'm going to do something extraordinary on the face of the earth. I'm going to advance my kingdom because I love my creation. I love my people. And I'm going to send my son. And he's going to call people to lives that are extraordinary. So listen, God is going to call people out of the ordinary, and he's going to call them into the extraordinary. And Jesus does this. Ordinary guys, fishing on a boat, probably like what they've been doing all their lives, probably part of the family tradition. Not people who are maybe super educated, right? Maybe not the most educated people or the most affluent, lots of money, right? Not those people. He calls people that were in a boat fishing as he's walking along, and he says, listen, I'm going to do something powerful with these guys. Know the kingdom is at hand. He's inviting people to follow it. God is calling people out of the ordinary lives in order to follow him. Men doing ordinary jobs. They did not have to pass a language test. Did you see that? It wasn't like, hey, come out of the boat. Now I'm going to give you some quizzes about what you believe about God or who you know him to be, right? There's no language final. It's just, hey, what do you say? Come follow me. Just come follow me. Why go the route of ordinary men? Why pick those guys in those boats? Why not go find religious leaders of the day? Why not convert them? Why not go find people who could fund the ministry? Why not go find those people? And I really believe it comes down to this. I think God wants to use ordinary people so that he is glorified and he is lifted up. So that's why you go get fishermen, right? You go find guys who are just doing ordinary things, girls who are doing ordinary things. You radically change their lives and you fill them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and you send them out and they do extraordinary things. And then who gets the glory? God gets the glory. In fact, there's a section in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 where Paul is talking and he says, and brethren, when I came to you, did I not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God? For I determined not to know anything among you except one thing. Do you remember what the one thing was? Christ Jesus. That's all I knew. I just knew Christ Jesus and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words or human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit of the power. And this is why. Listen to what he says. Verse 5 in 1 Corinthians 2. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Ordinary dude doing extraordinary things so that God would get the glory about what God is doing in that person's life. He did it in Paul's life, radical change. He did it in the fishermen's lives. He's saying, listen, I want to use ordinary people to do extraordinary things so that God will get the glory. Now, think about it in our perspective. What's the message for us? God will use you to do extraordinary things for his kingdom purposes. That you may look at yourself, and sometimes we do this, we're like, well, how could God really use me? I'm just living the everyday life. I'm in the grind. Get up, go to work, get up, go to work, right? Go to church every once in a while, get up, go to work. And I just live a normal life. So God, how could you use me? And I would just say, God will use that person who says, listen, I'm available to you. God, I want to be used by you, but I'm just a student, right? How can I be used by you? I want to use that person. ordinary people for it's kind of God's path, that God does use just ordinary people for extraordinary things. And then we hear the testimony, I was just this person. Or maybe somebody who's just like way off the beaten path and God does this radical change in their life. And then we hear their testimony and we think, God is so good that he would do that. Same thing as us. It's saying, listen, I want to use the ordinary people to do the extraordinary thing. One of the things we say at Refuge is every member is a minister. Every member is a minister. It's not just pastors that do ministry, but every single person that we look at Refuge and say, that's a refugee. If that person is a refugee and they're part of Refuge, they're ministers. God using ordinary people to do ministry, which is extraordinary. So re-look at yourself again. Think differently about yourself. Think differently about your week that's coming up. Listen, if I'm just an ordinary person, then I'm not worth anything, right? But if I say to myself, listen, I believe God could do something extraordinary in my life and could use me to do extraordinary things, then I could do ministry. I could walk out with a different mindset. So know that tonight, that Jesus called those men in a boat. They probably could have said, why are you calling us? I imagine they had that conversation. Why did you call fishermen out of a boat? All we knew was fishing all our life. And you called us. And imagine the things that those guys did, what they saw and the ministry that they were a part of in Jesus' name. So how do we get to that point? How do we say, listen, okay, I want to do that. I want to live an extraordinary life for the Lord. How do I do that? That's our point number two. How do we get there? Jesus says something very simple and yet something very profound. What does he say? Follow me, right? Here's how we'll get there. If you want to do something extraordinary with your life, follow Jesus. Follow me. Be a part of the ministry. It's almost like a spiritual Simon Says. If Jesus says, raise your right hand, you raise your right hand. If Jesus says, raise your left hand, you raise your left hand. If Jesus says, don't go there, you don't go there. If Jesus says, go there, you go there. It's following Jesus. Look what he says in verse 17. Jesus, talking to those guys on the boats, says, then Jesus said to them, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. Why is Jesus so important? Why follow Jesus? Jeff, why is that the most important thing about moving from ordinary to extraordinary? Listen to what he says in Hebrews 1, verse 1. God, who at various times in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by and through the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. So Jesus is sort of important, right? He goes on to say this in verse 3 of Hebrews 1. Who, Jesus, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. So when we talk about moving from ordinary to extraordinary, and Jesus just says, hey, guys in the boat, hey, ordinary people of Refuge, right? If you want to do something extraordinary, follow that guy. The guy who's the express image of the Creator, who's walking on the face of the earth. If you want to do something extraordinary, do what he does. Follow him. So Jesus calls those guys to a different sort of life. He says, follow me. Every once in a while, I'll get my son a Lego set, and he's getting better at it, right? They give you a little magazine that tells you how to build it step by step by step. He calls it a menu. But he would never follow the menu. I'll just tell you. And I'm a menu follower. So I'd be like, Jack, let's get that back again. Let's try this again. And I always try to guide him into following the menu, right? Because I want it to look like it's supposed to look, especially if it's like a Marvel or Star Wars one. It's like, you want it to be cool. And he's putting together, he's getting better now. He's more of a menu follower. And then I'm like, let's glue it together. No, I don't. But Jesus is the menu. He's like, we need to follow that model. If God is calling us to help advance the kingdom and to be a part of the kingdom advancement and to be living extraordinary lives, then Jesus is the model that we follow. There's no going off script. I think sometimes, like in the Christian life, we kind of come up with our own thoughts and, well, I think we should do this, or I think I should do this more. I really feel like maybe I'll do it like this. And if it in any way does not follow the model of Christ, who again, I'll just remind you, in Hebrews 1 talks about 1:3 being the express image of the Creator, who through all things were made. Like, if it goes off that script, then we've created something other than following Christ, right? If we're going to be part of the kingdom advancement and live the extraordinary life that God wants us to live, we have to stay on script. We can't be like Jack, who's like, well, I think that part should go here. It's like, yeah, I mean, for Legos, that's cool. But for life, I think that should go here. It doesn't fit with who Jesus is. It's for those guys, those disciples in the boat, it was like, all we got to do is follow him. We just watch him and we do what he does. For us today, we read about him in Scripture and we say, Lord, I want to follow what, I want to have the heart of Jesus. If I'm doing something that isn't the heart of Jesus, then I've gone off script. I've created my own Lego guy, right? But I want to follow the heart of Jesus. And that's when we start to say, listen, my life is going to become extraordinary, not because of who I am, but because I'm following Jesus and he was extraordinary. Base level, he says this, if you're going to be one of these followers of me, if you're going to be, we call them Christians today, right? Disciples of Jesus. A disciple follows their master, Jesus being the master. He says the first thing is you're going to have to repent. You're going to have to turn your life around, right? You're going to have to turn. That's the first thing he says in our first verse. He says, repent and believe. So that at the base level for a disciple of Jesus to live the extraordinary life that honors him, there's got to be a level of repentance, of turning to him and saying, I've been living the Jeff life, and now because I'm a follower of Jesus, I need to live the Jesus life. And I need to know about him. So I need to be reading about what would Jesus do. I need to be led by the Spirit. Lord, what are you calling me to do? That's a different sort of life than what I lived before. So I repent, and then I believe. My actions demonstrate belief in the kingdom of God advancing in who Jesus is. We obey Jesus. If Jesus, at one point, he says, if you love me, what will you do? What does he say? You'll obey my commands. If you love me, you'll do what I'm doing. You'll do what I'm saying. If you love me. And we want to say, Jesus, I love you, so then I need to obey what he's telling me to do. Paul will call us ambassadors of Christ. We represent him. But if we're living lives that aren't kingdom lives and lives that aren't following him because we're putting our own Lego pieces together that don't look anything like Jesus, but we're assembling something we think is Christian, then we're missing the mark. And so to live the extraordinary life, we have to follow Jesus. It's actually, like I said, quite simple, but it can be quite difficult as well. Jesus says to his followers, follow me. And then he says, listen, when you follow me, one of the things that I do, I just go to town and I tell people about the kingdom of God and that it's coming and that it's here and that I'm pretty important in the kingdom of God. What you believe about me matters. Jesus would tell people that. And then he says, listen, I'm calling you guys off boats and out of the ordinary life to then go with me and learn from me, but also to fish for men. Do you see that in there? He called them to fish for souls, that you will spend the rest of your life extraordinarily changing people's lives because they are believing in what you're teaching, which is the kingdom of God is here and it's advancing. Just like Zechariah said, one day the world will be filled basically with the presence of the Lord. And that time is coming and it's advancing forward, and you in Huntington Beach and Refuge here tonight, we have that opportunity as well to live that extraordinary life based on this understanding that the kingdom of God through us and here in this place is advancing. But he's saying, listen, part of that is fishing for souls, teaching this exact message, which is the kingdom of God is advancing and his presence is here with us. And Jesus is a big deal in the kingdom of God. Huge deal, right? He's the entry point, right? For your heart to change and enter into that kingdom of God. So Jesus says, listen, I'm going to call you out of the ordinary into the extraordinary. Huge part of that is that, will you follow me? And the question we have to ask ourselves is, are we following Jesus? Are we ambassadors of Jesus? Are we obeying what he said? Are we putting together our own little Lego model of, I like this, I don't like this? No. He's saying, listen, if you're going to be a disciple, you got to follow me. The third thing that we're going to learn, that we're going to see here in this text, is that when we experience God, when we hear the call of God on our life, the time to act is now. when we hear the voice of the Lord speaking to us, the time to act, the time to obey, the time to move closer to that voice is now. Look what Jesus says to the guys as they're out on the boat in verse 18. He says, they immediately left their nets and followed him. What did they do? Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Verse 20, and immediately he, that's Jesus, called them. There's this idea that God is moving, and he's moving, the kingdom of God is advancing, and the response of those that hear the call of the gospel, the good news of the gospel, and they repent and they believe, that's an immediate thing. It's you gotta move with the Spirit. You gotta move as the Lord is calling and saying, listen, I want you to come out of that, Jeff. I want you to come out of that. And I want to move you into the extraordinary. I want to move you into using you for my kingdom purposes. When you hear that call, insert your name instead of mine, and you move because God's calling you to it. And there's no room for, well, like I used to do to my mom all the time. She'd be like, Jeff, go mow the lawn. I'd be like, I'll do it, right? At some point, I still sometimes get in trouble with my wife for that. It's like, Jeff, you just want to do it on your timeline. It's like, yeah, I know, I'll get to it. I'm going to do it. Do you ever know me not to do it? I'll do it, but it'll be on my timeline. And God's not on someone else's timeline. God is saying, listen, Jeff, I'm speaking to you now, tonight, this morning, whenever, and I want you to move. And I'm God. I'm not your mom or your wife. So listen to me. It's almost like the immediacy is the important thing here. When they heard the call of Jesus, their response was, nets down, get out of the boat, we're going with him. There was this idea that Mark wants to tell us in his gospel. There's an advancing of the kingdom, and it was important that those guys listened and obeyed and did it immediately. It's almost like if you were gonna, like when my wife had our kids, and I were to tell her, listen, I'm busy right now. I know, but I'm in labor, and I think the child's coming, right? And I were to say something ignorant like, well, we'll go when I'm ready, right? Ignorant, right? And I would be in so much trouble. But the truth of the matter is, it's almost like that is what Mark is saying. The kingdom of God is here. It's like a child being birthed onto the scene. And you have a response to that. And if the response is, God, come back later, right? Advance it later, right? It's a little bit ignorant. It's like, well, God is God, and his kingdom is moving amongst his people. And you can decide, do I join in that movement, or do I kind of just say, well, maybe later. And I know sometimes, because I'm guilty of this too, sometimes we say, well, I'll do it later. I'll do that when I'm less comfortable, or I'll do it when I'm more comfortable. I'll do it when I'm married, or I'll listen more when I get that job. Or we have all these conditions that we put on God, and God is just saying, listen, will you follow me now, immediately? In this moment, will you obey? Will you listen and obey? And oftentimes I think we put God and we say, oh, we'll do it when. But Jesus never worked like that. Jesus would oftentimes just come to people and say, you know, will you follow me? And there were all a bunch of reasons people didn't, right? The rich young ruler, Jesus says, come and follow me. And he says, well, I've got this wealth. And Jesus says, you turn away from that wealth and just come follow me. And the guy's like, I can't. But it was that moment, there was an immediacy to that moment that he's confronted with the living king, and the king is saying, follow me, and he's like, it's too hard, I can't, right? Or there's a time when Jesus says, actually literally says, come follow me, and a guy says, listen, can I go bury my dad? And Jesus' response to him is, let the dead bury the dead. You come and follow me, and he says, preach the kingdom. You come follow me, let the dead bury the dead. And he could either be talking about spiritually dead, burying the spiritually dead, or maybe he's talking about this guy who wants to stay a year with his dad who's already passed away and get the inheritance. Whatever that looked like, the point of the matter is Jesus is saying, in this moment, we're face to face, God is speaking, and he's saying, follow me, you know the good news, you know about the kingdom, come and preach the kingdom. And the guy says, I don't know if I can do that, right? And we've all been in that crossroads where it's like, I know what God would have me do, right? And God, I want to be used by you. I want to come out of the ordinary and live the extraordinary. And I call myself a follower of Jesus. I'm following him, but in the moment of decision making, what am I deciding? Is my decision based on what I believe or what's comfortable or what I want? And Jesus is saying, if you're going to be a disciple of mine, you're going to come out of that moment and you're going to say, listen, I'm going to trust that the kingdom of God is advancing on the face of the earth. I want to be part of that advancement. I want to honor my king, and I'm going to make decisions that honor him. Fourth and last. So the first one we had was Jesus calls the ordinary out of that ordinary into the extraordinary. To live an extraordinary life, we have to follow Jesus, right? That's part of it. Like, we look to Jesus, we say, I need to follow him, and that will be an extraordinary life. Third, when do we do this? We do it now. Like, we make that decision to follow him now. And fourth, if we're going to be extraordinary for God, we will have to leave our old ways behind and move forward. Look at verse 18. Look what the guys did. They left their nets behind, right? They left something behind. They could have said, whoa, wait a minute, Jesus, we'll get you in a minute. We're gonna finish. He says, no. They just left their nets immediately. They left their nets behind, their family business behind. Look what the other guys did in verse 20. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants. And they went after him, right? They left dad behind, family business. They could have come up with so many excuses to be like, let me just hold a little bit longer onto this. But the king called, and immediately they followed. And there will be that wrestling that goes on in each one of our lives. And we'll have to answer that question of what am I holding on to? And sometimes sneakily, our bodies will like, well, I'm just going to hold on to this, but I'm really following Jesus, right? I'm ambassador for him, but I'm going to keep holding on to this. And sometimes, most often than not, we're having to be reminded, Jeff, you got to let that go. Let that go. That's prideful. Or Jeff, that's not obedient, right? You got to let it go. If you're a follower of mine, there's times when we're going to have to leave things behind, that we just leave it behind us. We can't stay where we are and follow Christ. He says, repent and believe. Here's why we can't. Because there's always too much of us. If we don't say to ourselves, listen, Jeff's got to, John actually, the Baptist, he says this, I must decrease, what it's Christ must do. Christ must increase. If we try to decide, listen, I'm just going to hold on to a little bit of Jeff. Jeff will start to rule and reign my life. It always happens that way. So we've got to say to ourselves, listen, I'm leaving the nets behind. I'm leaving my father Zebedee behind in the boat. I'm going to get radical about this, and I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm all in because I want to live an extraordinary life for the Lord. And so they left all of that behind. And do you think any one of them ever said, man, I wish I would have stayed in the boat, right? You think of Peter and James and John and Andrew, who he called out that day. Did any one of them look back 20 years and think, man, I wish I would have stayed in the boat, right? No. What the things that they got to hear and experience and see and the way that God used them to live extraordinary lives, none of them thought, oh man, it would have been better to hold on to those nets, right? And the same is true with us. If we're willing to say, God, I'm going to take the call seriously. I believe that you are advancing on the face of the earth. I believe that you're calling me to be a part of that. Lord, I want to live an extraordinary life from you. Part of that is going to be fishing for souls, right? That you're going to use me as a mouthpiece or as somebody who does work with my hands to advance the kingdom. And I don't think I will ever look back and think, man, I wish I would have held on to that, whatever that is, whatever we're holding on to. I wish I would have held more tightly onto that. Instead, I think God will say, listen, I'm calling you out of that and into something new and better and greater and more powerful. And I want you to be a part of this kingdom. I believe that's the heart of the Father to say, listen, I'm going to use you to do incredible, incredible things. Amen? Here's what I want to do. I'm going to have Jesse come back up, I think. Yes? And we're going to bring the lights down, I think. It would be awesome. And I honestly want to give just God some space to speak and direct us tonight. And so I don't know how long you typically pray for, but we're going to pray for a little bit of time. It's not going to be a half hour, I promise, but we're just going to spend some time. And the question that I think would be really pertinent for us to ask is there anything keeping me from following Jesus? And really, honestly, just going full after him and seeking his face and saying, God, I don't want to be held back anymore and living in just the ordinary. Like, I want to live in the extraordinary for you. And so I just want, that's the question. And maybe God would speak to you tonight and say, yeah, he won't say Jeff, but he could say Jeff to me. Jeff, this is the thing. This is that thing that is really keeping you back from living full on for me. And so we're going to spend some time. Jesse, there's not going to be any words. We're just going to just spend some time in prayer. And whatever you need to do that, do that.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more.
No more.
Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life